proclaiming, admonishing, and teaching. We proclaim. But we don't just proclaim, we proclaim Him, Christ. We really don't proclaim a religion. We don't proclaim a philosophy, but a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And if you want to see a Christian grow, and I hope you do, I mean, I hope you not only want to see yourself grow if you know Christ, but you want others to grow, point them toward Christ. Proclaim Christ.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we begin a new series on Christ in the New Testament. Pastor Scott brings a message titled Christ in Colossians. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Grab an old newspaper sometime. What was really hot 6 years ago? We don't even remember. But God's Word never goes out of date, and it's always, it's God's Word. It's powerful for transforming us. So anyway, I really believe in that. And we worked, and that was the end of it. He was leaving the next day. He was on a schedule. And I just walked over to where he was staying, and I said, you know, do you have another 10 minutes? And he said, sure. And they were packing up. He had a young family that he's taken back to Africa. And I said, I want to just encourage you that you perked up at that. I said, have you ever taken the book of Romans and given yourself to it? He said, no. And he did. He was very interested. He said, tell me more about that. So I gave him the challenge, basically. And about 4 weeks ago, he wrote me an email out of the blue. I wouldn't have even known who it was because I didn't recognize his name. We were only together like 12 hours. During a 12-hour period, but he said, can't thank you enough. This is a long overdue email. And he said, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And he started telling me in the email how much that had meant to him to spend time in Romans. And he had read it 20 times, and he'd copied it out. And he was telling me the benefit of it. And I wrote him back. I said, man, thanks for the encouragement, you know. And about a week later, he said, he's listening to the teaching now on Romans. And it's meaning a lot to him because this is the way it works. When you hear the Bible taught, when you've given yourself to it to begin with, it makes so much more, you know, difference in your life. But then he said, I'm thinking after Romans of going to Colossians or John. Do you have any thoughts? And I thought, wow, he picked two books that are all about Christ. And so I wrote him back, you can't go wrong, you know. And that's about all I said. Except I did quote from both books, because as I said that, they're all about Christ, you can't go wrong. I was thinking about it. And I was thinking about Downtown Bible. We seek to bring clear, Christ-centered Bible teaching. And every book of the New Testament is Christ-centered. And God uses the Bible as it's opened in my mind and my heart. He changes me from the inside out. He transforms us. And so I quoted from John as I wrote him back, John 8. I said, Jesus said in John 8, if you'll abide in my word, if you'll live in my word, then you're really my disciple. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I quoted that verse out of John, and then I quoted out of Colossians, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. So I gave him those two texts, and I encouraged him, you can't go wrong. Well, then I began thinking, as we come to this juncture, every book in the New Testament is Christ-centered. And I was serious when I said, hey, I'm not going anywhere outside of these two covers, because that's what we're all about, bringing the Scripture to the marketplace. But as I thought about it, I want to take the next few weeks and just see Christ in various books of the New Testament. So you can turn to Colossians, the one he picked, but I wanted to see the Christ-centered nature. I have recently been in in my own just personal devotions in the book of Revelation. And it begins by saying, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the A to the Z of it. We date our calendars by Christ. Christ is maybe just a curse word in your office, you know, the people you're called to work with. In this city, I know that the majority of people don't have too much time for Christ. But when he captures your heart and your mind, that's what Christianity is. It's not a system of belief or a religion. It's a personal relationship with the God who created us through his Son, Jesus Christ. When you come to know Christ, you assent when I say he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the A to the Z of it. And the Bible says that 100 different ways. And so I thought it would be good for us to take a look at Christ in Colossians today. And what I'm going to do each time is just look at one passage in a book. And I don't know where we'll be next week, which book, but it'll be one of the New Testament books. We might do this for several weeks. We might do it for 27 weeks because there are 27 books. And we might even spill over into the Old Testament, you know, because there's a lot of Christ in Genesis. And there's a lot of Christ in Exodus. And by the way, when you pick the Bible up, look for Christ. You won't have to look hard, but I'm saying the Bible is about his Son. God, when he spoke from heaven, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The Father would draw our attention to the Son. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said in John 16, because he hadn't come yet. When Jesus was here, the Spirit was not yet given because God, the Son, had not been glorified yet. It says that in John 7. But he was always talking about the future coming of the Holy Spirit. And when he says, when he comes, he'll take of mine and disclose it to you. He'll glorify me. The Holy Spirit loves to focus our attention on God the Son. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. There's no jealousy. There's no strife. There's perfect oneness. But the Father says, look at my Son. The Spirit says, here's the Son. He glorifies the Son. God is wrapping up everything in Christ. So turn to Colossians. And this book, we just have a few minutes, really, to look at one passage. And what I want to do is each week we'll just look at a passage that I think is representative of the books. This is a short little letter written by Paul to the Christians at Colossae. It's all about Christ. I had the privilege one time of teaching right after the Soviet Union, actually it was about 92, 93, right in there, right after the wall came down and the Soviet Union opened up, I had the privilege of teaching a bunch of university students that had never been around the Bible at all because there'd been 70 years worth of enforced atheism, you know? And I taught the book of Colossians. And it's a wonderful book. Every chapter focuses on Christ. And just for shortness of time, I'm just going to read one verse. And chapter 1, verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. The goal of all of life, but the goal of all of ministry, when you seek to help another Christian grow, if you know Christ, you want to help others. That's called ministry. It's called serving. The goal of all ministry is to bring people, notice the phrase, to completion, if you will, maturity, perfection in Christ, to be Christ-like. When God saves us, he takes us out of our sin and transforms us. We are born again, and the process of the Christian life then is becoming more and more like his Son. Amazingly, His Holy Spirit comes and takes up residency in us, and He creates Christ in us, if you will. And He does this, we're going to look at it here in this verse because, it's explained. But we want to bring people to maturity in Christ. I want to become mature in Christ. I want you to become mature in Christ. We want to be more like Jesus, okay? That's the legitimate desire of every good parent, isn't it? To bring children. We love babies. I mean, they are fun, but we look at them and we see what? Potential for maturity. We want to see them grow to maturity. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. When we come to Christ, we are born again, and His goal is to bring us not only to Christ, but then to maturity in Christ. Or as verse 28 says, that we might present every man, every woman, every boy, every child, every girl, you know, every person complete in Christ. And our verse indicates that Paul felt, and when I say Paul felt, God inspired Paul to write this. This is the God's word on it. But the apostle tells us that there are three ways this happens. Look at verse 28. Proclaiming, admonishing, and teaching. Proclaiming. We proclaim. But we don't just proclaim, we proclaim Him, Christ. We really don't proclaim a religion. We don't proclaim a philosophy, but a person. The person of Jesus Christ. And if you want to see a Christian grow, and I hope you do, I mean, I hope you not only want to see yourself grow if you know Christ, but you want others to grow, point them toward Christ. Proclaim Christ. Talk about Christ. Paul put it this way. There's a lot of parallels. As I said, every book is Christ-centered. Well, you're going to see parallels all the way through. When you take any book of the New Testament, you can quote from all the other 26, and you'll find very close parallels because every book is about Christ, and they're all from the same author. God the Father, through His Holy Spirit, inspired these men to write this book, and they want us to focus. He wants us to focus on His Son. So in Colossae, they had a tendency to stray from Christ. Colossae was a city, we would say, we'd call it modern Turkey, that Paul had been to, and he was writing back to them. Hence, we call it the book of Colossians. He also planted a church in Corinth, huge city in Greece, metropolitan city, a commercial center. And they had a tendency to stray from Christ. And you'll find it in Portland and in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Boise and Denver and Chicago and New York City, wherever we are, whether you live in a city or in the country, there's a tendency to kind of get our eyes off Jesus. And the Bible constantly pulls us back to Christ, and we should proclaim Christ. We should teach about Him. So whatever your ministry is, point sheep toward the shepherd. Take hungry people and feed them not the junk food of this world, but the bread of life, Jesus Himself. When you open the Bible, point them to Christ. I said last week when we were talking about Jesus' final commission, you know, to teaching them to observe all that I command you. You might say, well, I'm not a teacher. And He didn't tell us all to be gifted teachers. He said we should all teach. We don't set ourselves up as teachers, but we're all to be teaching and admonishing one another. And I gave the illustration. I was in a group of people, and this fella just got his phone out and read a couple verses. And I don't know if he has the gift of teaching. I kind of doubt it, really. I'm just getting to know him. But I know one thing. When he read me that scripture, it taught me. It admonished me. It encouraged me. And so I said that last week, and I say it again. We should be proclaiming Him, telling about Him, and pointing to Him. If somebody's thirsty, give them not water that'll just, You know, give them the water of life. Give them Jesus. Then admonishing, notice, teaching, or excuse me, we proclaiming him, admonishing every man. Close cousin to teaching. If you want to see someone come to maturity in Christ, you not only proclaim Christ, but you admonish them. And this term is common in the New Testament. It's sometimes translated instruct, but it has the idea of, with a little bit of a punch to it, a little bit of warning, a little bit of exhortation. In Corinthians 10, he says, you know, the things that happened to Israel, that Old Testament is not just a bunch of stories. These things happened to them, 1 Corinthians 10:11, as an example. And they were written for our instruction. So when we see Israel wandering off and God having to bring them back, when we see these things, they were written for our instruction. That's the term he uses, this word, for our admonishment. It's often used with children. If you're a parent, you know that kids need more than they need admonishment. They need encouragement. They need correction. They need warning. Those are all legitimate translations of this term. And Paul said, we admonish every man. In fact, I was teaching in Acts recently, and he was recounting his ministry at Ephesus, which was another city in Turkey. And he said, as he was recounting his ministry, he said, I was there 3 years, and I was constantly admonishing night and day, admonishing night and day with tears, he said. It's in Acts 20. I think it's verse 31, but just if you're looking for notes on that, but it's central to the ministry, this matter of admonishing, and it's hard work. Glance down one verse, verse 29. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Paul worked hard at it, day and night admonishing. And he says, I labor. The word labor there has the idea of wearing yourself out, admonishing and teaching. It's hard work. In fact, turn over to Galatians 4 for just a second. Galatians 4. Because I'm told it's all theory to me. But I'm told that we call childbirth, we call it labor for a reason, okay? We men really shouldn't talk about it too much because we don't know much about it. But you gals who've had kids, you know what I'm talking about, labor, okay? Well, look at Galatians 4:19. Paul uses a different image here, but he says the same thing. My children, with whom I am again in labor, until Christ is formed in you. He pictures ministry, helping others grow. You're leading a Bible study. You're teaching a Sunday school class. You're involved in, you're talking to somebody at work about Christ and you're bringing them toward Christ. When they become a Christian, when they take Christ as their Savior, they're born. And Paul calls this process, look at what he says. He says, my little children, he was there. And he says, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. The whole Christian life is summarized in that. We want to see Christ formed in others. We want to see people complete in Christ. So he says, teaching and admonishing one another. This is how we do it. So proclaiming, admonishing, and then the final one, teaching every man. Did you notice that? In each case, no matter who they are, they need to be admonished. They need to be, first of all, we need to proclaim Christ. Then we admonish in Christ. And then we teach about Christ. And teaching actually has kind of fallen on hard times in our culture. And in our culture, we're told, you don't teach people. You just teach them how to think and let them think. And there's some truth to that, but we need to be taught. I was recently with my little, I'm going to guess six-year-old, seven-year-old, one of my grandkids, and she was reading me a book, and I was helping her just, but I was enjoying that she's learning how to read. And somebody taught her. So I'd say, sound it out. And she could. And it was thrilling to me as she would sound out, she came to whispering. The word was in the little book, you know, and I said, just ignore the H. And she took my word for it, ignored the H and went, whispering. And I said, yeah. And then she moved on. And somebody taught her how to do that. We teach. And we teach in the Christian life. And we don't just teach random thoughts. We teach about Him. We teach Christ. We teach from His Word. And I'm saddened when I see that many pulpits, many churches are, the pulpits have bought into the philosophy that rather than teaching, we don't just bring answers, we ask questions. And there's a tendency to raise more questions than to give answers. Now, if we didn't have an answer, that might be true. I mean, that's kind of Portland-esque, you know? Just kind of, everybody's in the same boat, kind of wondering what we're here for. But when we've found the reason for life, when we've found the joy of relationship with Christ, we teach Him. We proclaim Him. We admonish for Him. We teach about Him. We teach from His Word. When He came, that's what He did. In Matthew, we had that great Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7. It starts with Him teaching. He opened His mouth and began to what? Teach. And when He closed it at the end of the sermon, they were blown away because He was what? It says, teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Jesus was called the teacher. He taught and He told us to. The Holy Spirit, when He comes, He'll teach you. The apostles, when they went, I'm teaching the book of Acts on Sundays right now, and everywhere they went, they were teaching. Teaching is absolutely central. And of course, I've already mentioned, but He commissioned us to do just that. So proclaim Him, admonish every man, teach every man with all wisdom. With what goal? Always to bring people to completion, perfection, maturity in Christ, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Ask God this morning, well, tomorrow morning. It's past noon. But when you get up in the morning, ask Him to make you a little more like His Son today. You know, building block at a time. And then cooperate. Get in His Word. And when you're wanting to help others, proclaim Christ. Admonish. There'll be correction. There'll be even warning. And teach. Explain. Open up the Scripture so that people might see who Christ really is. And when the Holy Spirit gets our eyes on Him, we become more like Him. It's just the way it works. That's how God planned it.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Christ in Colossians, a message from our study on Christ in the New Testament. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. Now, we're very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We invite you to learn more about it. Continually growing to nearly 25,000 pastors involved throughout 25 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, the Philippines. We've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception back in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland that shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. It's a perfect break in the work week in an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us 1-800-935-3020. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially. It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Christ came, and he not only took the sin out of my life, but he gave me life, real life, not mere existence. No, he gave me his life, eternal life. I was born again. I became a new creature in Christ, Paul says in this letter. If any man is in Christ, verse 17 of chapter 5 of this letter, if you're in Christ, he doesn't say if any man's in a church, or if any man gets in the Bible, or if any man gets into philosophy, or if any man does good works. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come.
Join us again next time as we continue our series on Christ in the New Testament. Pastor Scott brings the message, Christ in 2 Corinthians. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.